But I wanted to talk today about an important subject that we've all been faced with. What happens when you die? You may be asking, what does happen when you die? And I just want to go to some scriptures and talk about it. Now, death is something that all of us will face. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die." So every person here will die. What is the thing they say you have to do? Pay taxes and die? You really don't have to pay taxes. You go to jail, but you don't have to pay taxes. But you will die. And Paul knew this, God knew this, so he wanted to give us a little bit of information, because death is not a respecter of persons. It brings everyone to the same level. You can be the richest man in the world, you're still going to die. You can be a beggar on the street, you're still going to die. Death evens the playing field, because in God's eyes, we all will die. Ecclesiastes 12 says this, "Remember the Lord before the silver cord is severed, and the pitcher is shattered at the spring." So I want you to think of this, because what he's talking about death in this passage. And he's saying that there's a silver cord, and I love the way Solomon used terminology. He was a king, so he used metals and he used beautiful things. But your soul is held to your body by a spiritual silver cord. And it's saying that the silver cord will be severed one day. So your soul is separate than your body. This is just a shell. I mean, when I was 18, I felt a lot different in this thing than I do today. When I get up, I'm like, ooh, hurts a little bit now. So this continues to decay, this body, but my soul lives on. Jensen's body is in Georgia, but his soul is with God, because that's who he really is. When he dies, Jesus says, "Father, into my hands I commit what? My spirit." So when he's on the cross, and right before he dies, he says, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Not his body, his spirit. And that's when he said, "It is finished." And he bows his head, and that was the end. And that's when the veil in the temple was ripped from top to bottom. Because God ripped that veil, saying because of that death, no longer was the Holy of Holies a separate place where only one person a year could go into. That priest would go once a year to offer a sacrifice for our sins. One time a year, and he had little bells on his robe that would ring and a cord tied to his leg, because if he missed it by one beat, the bells would stop and he would die. That's a lot of pressure. Thank God we don't have that. But the priest would go in there, and as he was offering the sacrifice, people would be outside saying, "Oh, I hear the bells. Thank God he's not dead. Thank God the priest is still able to do this." But when Jesus died, that was the end of it. And that curtain that separated the Holy of Holies was ripped from top to bottom, saying, now everyone is welcome to come into God's presence. His manifest Shekinah presence. So our spirit goes to be with God once we die. Now let's look at some scriptures. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." So your body right now is not really who you are. You're living in this body, following Christ. But that's not really who you are. It's your spirit. I think blind people probably have a big edge over us than a lot of other people. For us, when we see people, we automatically judge people just from appearance, from culture, you know, if there's prejudice, whatever. But a blind person really doesn't. But they really experience that person. And I really think that if we could be more blind, how much better this world would be. If we didn't look at somebody how they appeared, or they like us, but just got to know their spirit, like, oh, they're more like us than I think I ever thought you could be. God is a spirit beating, and we worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, salvation comes through Jesus, right? Noah was on an ark. Remember Noah? the Lord told Noah to build him an arky-arky. Some of you learned that growing up, right? Build it out of gopher barky-barky, children of the Lord. Okay. I had to finish it. That's my OCD that kicks in. So Noah enters this ark because there's going to be a flood. Now, there had never rained before. So he goes and he builds this ark. The people thought he was nuts. What are you doing? What are you building? But God told him to build that ark. That's a picture, really, of salvation. Because it says, when Noah made the decision to enter into the ark, God shut the door. There wasn't a handle on the outside. God shut that door and he was safe from the flood. When you are in Christ, Paul says, when you enter that relationship with Christ, he seals our heart with his Holy Spirit. He says he's the door, and that door we enter through, and he, by the blood of Jesus, seals that door that it can't be opened and you can't be pulled out. You are sealed in that ark with him in safety. That's salvation. That's good news. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Nothing. He lists everything going on in your life cannot separate you from the love of God. As a believer, we will die when we die, our spirits go immediately into the presence of the Lord. Now, Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's really what it's about. When you leave this body, you immediately go to be present with the Lord. You don't have to wait 15,000 years for the trumpet, and then all of a sudden, that's your body. We're talking about your body coming out. But your soul goes right to be with God, right there. Amen. Now, the thief on the cross, Jesus is next to the thief on the cross, and what does he tell him that he's about to die? This day forward you shall be with me in paradise. So that thief, as bad as he was, murdered whatever he did, because he now believed in Christ and asked for mercy from Christ, he said, from this day forward you shall be with me in paradise. That gives me hope. Amen. We do not have to go somewhere after death and suffer our sins. Some of you have been taught some of those things. Some of you have been taught purgatory. You have to pray people out of. You don't have to do that. That was all set up for you to go and pay money so you can light the candles and get people out of purgatory. That is not God. If that's the case, is that Jesus' death was not enough. We don't believe that. Now, reactions to death. Death takes place and death will take place. It's normal to be sad at the loss of our loved ones. We can act like, oh, praise God, he's in a better place. I still feel his loss. I know that I will not be hearing his laugh or his crazy jokes, although he still has them all over his Facebook posts. For funerals or for memorials, I always go to Facebook posts and I take what they posted so that they will be part of their own service. And I had to scroll through so many things. And he loved you guys so much. You were on so many of his posts, how beautiful you were and how talented you were. And he loved you guys. And he loved you guys. And so we may not be hearing him physically, but he's still with us. His soul is in the better place. And we can mourn that. Michael, you can mourn that fact that your friend, your best friend, is gone. And that's normal. That's just normal. In Acts 7, when Stephen was stoned to death, it says, great lamenting in the church occurred over his death. That's okay to lament. It's okay to mourn our loss. He's in a better place, but we're still stuck here without him. And he was one of the biggest, not only in spirit, but just impactful people I have ever met in my life. Jesus, the night before his death, says this, and this is the promise from him. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I not told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be with him. So when he died, Jesus takes his spirit and he brings him to the Father's house. So that's a promise that Jesus is giving. And then Paul goes on to say, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. And he knows he's about to die. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award upon me that day. And not only to me, but all who have loved his appearing. So there's a promise that this is not the end. There's more to come when you die, and that's all going to take place up in heaven. In 2 Corinthians 5, it says this, "For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be absent from the body and at home with the Lord." There's a scripture in Psalms that says, "Precious in the eyes of the Lord are the death of his saints." You see, to him, he sees it as a time when he's just welcoming his child home in his presence. I just think of the music. Today when you were singing, I could just hear his voice singing. And I almost wanted to look behind. Did you feel the same way? He's playing that keyboard. The keys were stuck. His keyboard did have sticky fingers sometimes, he said. But he'll never hit a bad note. And we can mourn, and it's normal. But folks, he's not mourning. He is in a better place. Paul goes on to say this, "Death has been swallowed up in victory." And then he says this in one of my favorite verses, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law." We don't live in the law anymore. We live in grace. That's the power of death. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So we are grateful today for Jensen. We're grateful for God. And we know that our Redeemer lives. And that one day, not only will we see him face to face, we'll see Jensen face to face. Would you stand with me for a second? I asked Pastor Deb if she will close with this song, but the second verse was his. So I want you just to listen for his voice, because I know he's singing it with us. Amen. Father, we thank you for our wonderful Lord and Savior who saved us, redeemed us, bought us, transformed us. We're also thankful for that wonderful brother that you gave us in this body. I do pray for his family. Father, I thank you that you would just comfort them. His brothers, his sister-in-law, his niece, his nephew, his entire family, I thank you, Father, that you will just wrap your arms completely around him in this time. We bless them and we thank you for your strength. We speak peace and your comfort. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. I do pray that you would just comfort everyone here during this time. But also, Lord, help us to celebrate who Jensen is and still continues to be in our life, because he's in a better place. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.